What's up, y'all? I'm Will here with Schedule Fly, and this is the Restaurant Owners Uncorked podcast, one of the highest rated hospitality podcasts in the world, brought to you by us at Schedule Fly. We provide a very simple web-based restaurant employee scheduling software backed by legendary customer service. If you're on pencil and paper or Excel, or you're on some software with tons of bells and whistles and features you don't need or use, ScheduleFly is the perfect place for you. Easy to use, point, click, and go, and we'll take great care of you. ScheduleFly.com, free trial, check it out. Also, this podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Pop Menu and The Giving Kitchen and Kickfin, and you're going to hear about them in just a minute. First of all, let's talk about today's guest. All right, so today we have David Weeks. And David Weeks is down in Georgia. He has three different franchises that he's a franchisee for: Barbaritos, Dunkin' Donuts, Nukes, 16 locations total. He's been in the business for 20 years. Great dude. Came on the episode primarily to talk about Dunkin', but this conversation kind of went all over and it was really good. I had asked him to come on because he had been using ScheduleFly at Dunkin' for a long time. The franchisor, Dunkin', recommended a different solution that was integrated and all this stuff in it. They left this summer, and after 2-3 months, he called me up and said, is there any way we could come back? And we just flipped him back on, and he came back on, and I said, look, you know, we would like to get you talking about ScheduleFly and talking about Dunkin' to try to create some content that will help us spread our brand at ScheduleFly across the Dunkin' footprint. And that was really the objective here. I thought this would be kind of a short, quick episode. Well, we wound up talking about just the business in general, leadership, all that he's learned over the years, his concept that he tried to go on his own and why that didn't work out, why he loves these brands. And so this is just a cool conversation. David's a great dude. You're going to see a very natural leader, leads by example, serves from a servant's heart, and has built a great business down in Georgia, in the Athens and the surrounding area in Georgia, a lot of small towns in and around the Athens area. So enjoy this episode. Great dude. Very kind to come on and say some really awesome things about ScheduleFly, and but just a wonderful example of a great leader in the hospitality business. The busiest time of year is coming. Is your staff ready for the holiday rush? This year, give your team the gift of Pop Menu AI Answering, a simple solution for phones ringing off the hook. AI Answering handles calls 24/7, 365 days a year, so your staff can focus on in-person guests. Customize your greetings and responses, answer common questions, promote specials and events, and send follow-up links to ordering and reservations. AI Answering handles it all while escalating more complex conversations back to your team. Never miss another tasty revenue opportunity. Pop Menu, the marketing technology platform designed to make growing your restaurant easy. Discover more AI restaurant tools that turn your to-do list into an already done list by requesting a demo today. For a limited time, get $100 off your first month, plus lock in one unchanging monthly rate at popmenu.com. Go now to get $100 off your first month at popmenu.com. Be sure to tell them that Will from Restaurant Owners Uncorked podcast and ScheduleFly sent you. Y'all, this is a great business. I just told you what they like me to say. I will say that we have a lot of mutual customers at ScheduleFly with Pop Menu. They all agree. Great product, great customer service, great results. Check them out, popmenu.com. This episode is also brought to you by The Giving Kitchen. Giving Kitchen provides emergency assistance for food service workers through financial support and a network of community resources. Since its inception in 2013, Giving Kitchen has served over 15,000 food service workers and awarded over $10.5 million to food service workers in crisis. If you or someone you know is a food service worker in crisis, please ask for help. TheGivingKitchen.org, and again, that's TheGivingKitchen.org. Y'all, this is a phenomenal organization. Jen, the founder, has been on this podcast. Jen Heidinger Kendrick, check out that episode to hear their full story. But if you know somebody or you need help, go to TheGivingKitchen.org. Incredible, incredible organization. and very responsive and has a wonderful mission. Check them out. David, thank you for taking the time to join today. Just introduce yourself if you would.
Yeah, sure. My name is David Weeks. Live in Watkinsville, Georgia, just south of Athens, home of the UGA Bulldogs. And currently, I'm a franchisee of three different brands. The first franchise that I got involved with was Barberitos back 20 years ago. We're actually coming up on our 20-year anniversary. Opened my first store in Athens December 17th of 2003. So hard to believe that 20 years later, we have three different brands. We're also a franchisee of Dunkin', as well as Nuke's Eateries. And currently we have 16 stores. We have five Barberitos, seven Dunkin's, and four Nuke's. And all of our stores are within a four county area right around Athens. So I love the restaurant business. I live it. It's not an investment for me. I'm in my stores every day working with our staffs, our crews, and I'm very fortunate. I'm actually sitting in the back office of our first store, and we have people out there working that were with us 20 years ago. And that's what I believe in is our people. And it's been a fun ride.
Dude, that's okay. First of all, congrats. And that's really cool that you spread it across these three concepts. I'd love to, I have a lot of things to ask you, but sure. I want to focus primarily today on Dunkin', but did you grow up in this business or how did you get dialed in?
That's a great question. No, I did not. Growing up, I had my own landscape company. I call it a landscape company. Basically, I would cut grass, lay irrigation pipe, throw pine straw. So I started doing that when I was 10 years old. Always wanted to own my own business. Was fortunate enough to play football at UGA back in the early 90s, and I bounced around a couple corporate jobs out of college, but I always knew that I wanted to eventually own my own business. I just didn't know what, and I looked at a lot of different concepts. One thing that I do know about myself is that I'm not a very creative person when it comes to recipes or marketing or things like that. I like to work hard and I like to build teams. That's what my strengths are.
Yeah. Okay.
And so anyway, I'll give you the quick executive summary here. I was looking at a lot of different franchises. I was looking at sporting goods stores, printing presses. And then I started looking at some restaurants. And back in those days, my wife and I had been married for about 2 or 3 years. I had a 1-year-old, my son who's 21 was one. And I started looking at restaurants. Because it was fascinating to me, although I'd never worked in one. And I quickly realized that to get in with the big boys, you know, the McDonald's of the world, the Zaxby's of the world, Zaxby's was just starting out, you had to have a lot of money. And I didn't have any money.
Gotcha.
And so a buddy of mine who I played football with in Georgia, his brother opened Barberitos in Athens in 2001. And I went down there to support them, and I had my first burrito, and I fell in love with it. And that day I told Downing, I said, hey, you going to franchise this concept? He said, I'm just trying to survive right now, but if I do, you'll be the first one to call. And so he called me 6 months later, and the rest is history. But one of the philosophies one of the things that really got me in the restaurant business, I was talking to a buddy of mine who was one of the original Zaxby's franchisees. And I didn't know anything about the restaurant business. I knew it was hard work. And I asked him, I said, tell me why you got in the restaurant business. I mean, I hear how hard it is and the failure rate of restaurants. Why'd you decide to do this? And he looked at me and said, David, I'm not in the restaurant business. I'm just having all my friends over for lunch and dinner every day. And that was kind of the aha moment for me, because my wife and I loved having our neighbors over, cooking out, entertaining. And so that's been my philosophy that I've taken to this business is when you come into one of our stores, you're coming into my living room, and we want to make sure we have a great product, you know, clean facilities and great hospitality. So never in my wildest dreams, all I wanted to do was roll burritos back in 2003. I had no idea where this journey would take us.
So then so he calls you and you open your first franchise location,
right
back then, and you grew through Barberitos first.
Correct. And we were very slow growth because I didn't have dreams to be a multi-unit owner at all. I just, yeah. I loved what I was doing. And so, you know, we opened our second Barberitos in 2005, and it took me another 4 years before I opened my third in 2009. In the meantime, I've had several failures as well. I branched out on my own to start a new concept. It was a good concept, but after 6 months, we crashed and burned. So I converted that store into our third Barberitos. Mm-hmm. And then the Dunkin' people, I was working with a broker to try to find another Barberitos location. And he was working with Dunkin'. This was back in 2010. And he said they really wanted to expand out into our area. And would I be interested? And I said, well, I don't know anything about coffee and donuts, but if you're saying they're interested, I'll talk to them. And I also figured Barberitos is a lunch and dinner concept. I didn't have anything to do in the morning, so I might as well have a third day part to work. And really like their concept as well, too. And they're such a huge brand. And so I felt like it was almost like going to get my master's degree in restaurant operations by becoming a Dunkin' franchisee. So a lot of great experience being able to work with them.
Yeah, they have it dialed in for sure. There's like how many? It's like over 9,000 Dunkin' locations.
Golly, I think nationally, but I think globally they're up to about 15,000.
That's crazy. And it's now Dunkin', not Dunkin' Donuts. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah,
they did. They dropped the donuts, and you know, America runs on Dunkin'. Yeah. They're really trying to become a beverage shop, but. You know, our donuts we still sell probably about 20% of our sales are donuts, especially being in the South. They love their donuts here in the South.
Yes, they do. 20%. So really, I would have thought it would be a lot higher than that. So it's 20%, huh?
It was. When I first got in the business, we were 40%. And it has just with the Dunkin' rebrand and going more towards the beverages, our product mix has changed over the years.
Better margins in beverages?
Much better margins in beverages.
Really? Then donut. I mean, donuts are really okay.
Yeah, because we make our donuts overnight, and so the labor that goes into it, it skews it a little bit. But you know, that beverage is Dunkin'. It's a well-oiled machine from an operation standpoint when it comes to the beverage mix.
Well, okay. I'm so curious. So you said something at the beginning about. You're not necessarily, your strengths aren't in creativity and things like that.
Right.
Was that sort of a self-realization when you tried to branch out with your own concept, or did you just have bad timing, or was it a little bit of both? I'm curious about that.
A little bit of both. I was very interested being on the franchisor side instead of the franchisee side.
Sure.
You know, I just, with my football and athletic background, I'm such a big believer in teams and building teams and coaching. And I wanted to give it a shot. And I tell people that I got a little bit of the big head, you know, I was like, hey, I'm a pretty good franchisee. Why not branch out on my own and try to create another concept? I know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. Right.
you know, life has a funny way of when you start getting a big head and thinking higher yourself, you always get the slice of humble pie. I got the humble pie thrown right in my face. I realized quickly, I was like, okay, I am just not, this is not my cup of tea being creative. Give me the playbook and let's just go run the heck out of the business.
Give me the playbook and let's get after it. I love it. Yeah, there are a lot of similarities for sure. You've got 16, how many employees do you have total across all those locations of different?
Oh, wow. We're over 500.
Yeah. Okay. So you got a big team.
We do.
Yeah. Which means you've got to hire in some really good people, to help you run that. I mean, you go to your stores, you probably spend a lot of time going around. You've got to have some really good, team members that are out there helping you execute on this and nail it every day across three different concepts in that many locations.
We do. And we keep the concepts in their own separate silos. So we have a operations group on our Barberitos brand, an operations group on Dunkin', and an ops group on Nukes. And we kind of figure it out on our own. We call them our above restaurant leaders. I'm not a big believer in titles, although I realize in this day and age you have to have them. But yeah. all of our ops people that are above our general managers in our locations, they've been with me since the beginning. Our director of ops on our Dunkin' side, when I opened our first Dunkin', it was actually a combo Dunkin' Baskin location.
Yeah.
She was our cake lady.
Okay.
And I saw some leadership potential in her. I had to really convince her to become the general manager of that store. She ran a great store. Then I had to convince her to become an above restaurant leader, and she did awesome at that. And then I really had to convince her to become our director of operations, and she's just phenomenal. I couldn't do it without her. And we have so many stories like that in our company of people who just kind of, they jived with the synergy that we have and the goals that we have. And they're all servant, they have servants' hearts at the end of the day, and they love serving people. And our company has grown. It's so much bigger than just one person. We have so many great people on our team who've been with us for 10 and 15, 20 years, which, at the end of the day, that's the thing I'm most proud of.
What would you say? Because there's a lot of people, David, that are in your shoes right now, where they're young. Maybe they're not even young. Maybe they've been in corporate America a long time.
Right.
But they know that corporate America is not what they want, either for their career going forward, or maybe they need a change of careers. So they're looking at franchise options. Outside of just Dunkin', but just as a franchisee,
right?
What would you tell? I mean, like, what would you tell the young you that you have learned over these years? Obviously, you'd say, "Hey, be self-aware enough to know whether like you're better with the executing the playbook or creating your own thing or whatever." And a lot of people that come over to the franchise world, and maybe they've been in corporate America, they don't want to come up with something. They want the playbook. But
right.
Having the playbook, and you know, you can obviously make, let's say, Dunkin' a very successful business if you execute well in that program, if you
right.
hire in the right team, and if you are a good leader. That's still not easy to do at all.
Right.
And there's plenty of people
right.
that try it. I mean, we had a Nukes, you know, near us for a few years, and it closed. I have no idea why, but
right.
just because you have a good brand and a good playbook, there's a lot more that comes with us. I'm just curious what some of the things that you've learned that you would convey to somebody that came to you for advice, that's saying, I'm thinking of the same thing. Like, what do I need to know? What are some key things that
sure.
you want me to be thinking about before I push my chips in on this kind of investment?
Right. Exactly. And you're absolutely right. I've seen it even in Dunkin', when they get a franchisee involved in it that doesn't have the right attitude coming into the brand, and it doesn't work. Success is never guaranteed. I believe it's all due to your hard work. But going back and looking, what I would tell my younger self, and I still tell people this all the time, they call me up, that are looking to get in any one of our brands. My first question is, who's going to run it? And let's say an accountant, or, you know, a doctor or a lawyer from the corporate world is wanting to get involved in the restaurant business. They say, oh, well, I'm just going to hire a GM and let them do it. I say, you might as well ride down 85 with your window rolled down and throw your money out the window, because it
yeah.
won't work. The philosophy that I take is that you got to live it. You got to love it. I worked when we opened our Barberitos back in 2003. I was in the store from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. for about 15 months. So if somebody's going to get into it, if you have to work it. And, you know, I had a one-year-old at the time. Aaron would bring Wes, my son, up to the store at 3 o'clock. We'd go in the back parking lot, and he loved throwing the baseball. So I'd go in the back parking lot for 10 minutes, throw the ball with them, and then go back to work. And my staff, because I worked so hard with my staff, and my wife loves to tell this story. We had a high schooler that was working with us, and I was trying to develop him into a shift leader so I could go home at night. And Aaron comes through the line one night, and his name was Josh Hickson. And he said, Miss Weeks, I'm trying to do a good job so your husband can come home at night. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, he saw I guess what I was doing, he saw that my whole family was involved in it. And even 20 years later, and I still know him, he now is a high school teacher and high school football coach. So I stay in touch with him. And that just, you know, I think when you're people, you have to lead by example in this industry. Yeah. And, you know, I still like, you know, I never ask my staff to make food for me. They need to take care of the guests. I'll make my own food. I still, to this day, I love going into a store and taking out the trash or going to clean a bathroom just so they see me do it. And a lot of times, the GMs or our ops directors, they'll get on to me, like, Dave, you don't need to do that. And I fire back to them, yes, I do need to do that. That's the most important thing I do. And so if you are looking to get in this business, it's a very hard business. And if you're afraid of hard work, go do something else. But it's a 24/7 deal. And, you know, if you select the right people, treat them right. I'm the world's biggest optimist because I believe if we set the standard high in our restaurants, even today with the younger people, and I think the younger people get a bad knock in today's society where people say, oh, they just won't work anymore. They're too involved on their phones. Well, we set a very high standard. They're not allowed to have their phones on them when they work. Now we have lockers in all of our stores and they put their phones in the back and we want you to be focused on the guest and our people get that, even the young 16 and 17 year olds. And so, you know, we work very hard at, you know, our standards and making sure, you know, that people understand the why behind everything we do. Cause a 16 year old is not going to understand why I can't have my phone when I go to a lot of other concepts and I might see that cashier with a phone in their back pocket. Why can't I do it here? Well, because we're focused on the guest.
Leading by example is such a huge part of that. I could not agree more. You're never above anything. And how can you tell somebody to do things that you haven't done yourself or won't do yourself? It's like, you won't do it, but I have to do it. Then it just sets this power structure and it's just, no, you do the things that they think are beneath and they're trying to tell you not to. And you keep doing it because you realize that because that's just how you're wired. I can tell, and you want to, because it's important to you, but it also shows them like, man, if he's in here doing this, like, how can we not do it? Like, how can we not be, you know, doing the things we need to do? You know, did you ever watch the movie Braveheart?
Oh, one of my favorites, man. That's
well, okay.
When I get the password question of what is your favorite movie? Now I've got a lot of other secret questions. Braveheart.
Braveheart. There you go. You know, there's that scene where he's William Wallace is talking to Robert the Bruce. He's like, they will follow you if you will just lead them. Like, to your point about like the phones and everything else, like it, I think they get a bad rap, but a part of it's because they don't have good leadership. Like, we're not like, we don't like, it's almost patronizing to set these expectations so low for these kids these days. Like, well, they have to have their, you know, no. Freaking be a leader, like show them the way, show them an example, give them something to aspire to and, you know, lead them and they'll follow. So that's exactly what you're portraying there.
Agree 100%. We talk, you know, we have biweekly GM meetings, you know, I'm meeting with our people all the time. And that's one of my favorite things that I like to tell them. I say, you know, our standards are up here. We have very high standards. All right. Yeah. I might not be asking a 16 or 17 year old or a college kid, or shoot, we even have people in their 40s and 50s that are on our team. I'm not going to ask them to go above my standard. If I can get them as close to my standard as possible, then I consider that to be a win. And again, too, it's all about leadership. And I think that's become a lost art is leadership in the restaurant business.
All right, y'all, it is time for a little mid-episode break. We're going to talk about Kickfin. Thousands of restaurants, bars, and breweries use Kickfin to tip out their employees instantly. No cash required. With Kickfin, tips go directly to your employees' bank of choice the second their shift ends. It's a really simple solution to a really big problem because if you're still paying out credit card tips in cash, it's costing you. Time-consuming bank runs and cash counting take managers away from work that matters. Cash is hard to track, which leads to accounting headaches, and it creates the perfect opportunity for theft, human error, and compliance issues. Bottom line, there's never been an instant secure way to pay out tips until Kickfin. It's an easy-to-use software that sends real-time, cashless tip payouts straight to your employees' bank accounts, 24/7, 365. Kickfin gives managers hours back in their day, makes reporting a breeze, and protects your business from risk. Most importantly, employees love it. Restaurants can have Kickfin up and running overnight. Employees can enroll in seconds. No hardware, no contracts, no setup fees. Visit kickfin.com for a personalized demo. See how restaurants across the country are digitizing tips with Kickfin. All right, that's what they asked me to say, so I say it, and it tells the story very well, but I like to add this in. We referred a customer that we know and love very well, SupDogs, to Kickfin. SupDogs has been a customer for a super long time. Trust them very much with their opinion on these types of tools. They started using Kickfin. I asked Brett, the owner, recently how it's going. He said, Kickfin is perfect. It's going great. Exactly what we were hoping for. So there you go. Kickfin.com, y'all. Check them out. Let's talk a little bit about Dunkin' specifically. I mean, we're doing, you know, I approached you about this because you had, the franchisor had recommended different software. You had been with Schedulefly a little while. You've got your stores there and you're like, right. Hey man, they want us to use this. So you switched and then you called me a couple weeks ago. You're like, hey man, like, we want to come back and like, is there any way to make it easy? And we just turned it on and it was great. But the, so I want to talk a little bit about that because, you know, our goal, I mean, one of the things I see when I see you coming back and then I see another franchisee out in Kentucky that has like 6 or 8 locations and they're mm-hmm. like, they're real happy. They keep growing. They keep adding. I'm like, okay, well, our big issue at Schedulefly has always been, you know, you asked us before we started recording, like how long have we been doing this? And I mean, we've been doing it 16 years. We've grown through word of mouth. We have 5 people on our team and we've had the same right. 5 people for 16 years. Our big challenge is awareness. Like we don't have the resources to deploy into creating awareness. We don't have a sales team. But I'm sitting here thinking, well, I got 2 really happy franchisees, one who left and came back.
Right.
Clearly there's something that we do that is a, you know, for the right people, a good fit, not for everybody at Dunkin', but for, there's probably a lot more that, so my goal right. is to try to figure out, well, how can we create content, you know, or something that can get shared around Dunkin' that might say, okay, well, gosh, you know, this is a cool story and they like Schedulefly a lot. So, so I thank you for doing this for that reason, but I am curious cause we didn't really talk about it. Like, so you left, you turned it off,
right.
you went to another,
right.
And you don't have to say who, but like what?
Yeah, sure.
What happened? Like, why'd you call me a couple weeks ago?
Don't mind at all. So Dunkin' switched their POS system about 2 years ago. And, you know, it was a slow rollout, especially with a brand as big as Dunkin'. And about a year ago, they brought, you know, under the suite of options that particular vendor gave us was a scheduling component to it. And it was sold to us that, you know, it's going to integrate your hourly labor. It's going to integrate sales. You're going to be able to control your labor easier. You know, you'll have the app. You'll be able to see exactly where you are. And like, okay, well, we'll give it a try. And, you know, we always liked you guys. And, you know, and it was fascinating. We had, so once a quarter, we bring all of our GMs per brand into our, we have an office. I mean, it's about 1,000 square feet in Watkinsville, Georgia. It's nothing with bells and whistles or anything. We have a conference table. I've got an office in there. Admin team works together. And so we had a Dunkin' meeting with all of our GMs. And the way I like to do our meetings, you know, I'll speak at the beginning, but then I let our ops director and our leadership team meet with the GMs and then they'll update me afterwards. What was fascinating that came out of this meeting, Billy, our director of ops, comes to me and she said, David, you're not going to believe this, but everybody wants to go back to Schedulefly. I was like, are you kidding me? Why? And like, look, it's way more user-friendly. Not only do the GMs like it, it's easier to create and post a schedule, but the staff loves it. The kids love it. Of course, the other software promised us all these things, but when you get involved into the nuts and bolts of it, it wasn't working the way we wanted to. And I said, Billy, dude, I'm all for going back to Schedulefly. And they were worried. They said, gosh, it's just going to be such a hassle to have to recreate all of our templates. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of time. I said, when do y'all want to do it? And she said, well, now. I said, okay, let me make a phone call. She goes, I know it's probably going to take 6 weeks for us to get this thing ramped back up. I said, well, I'm not really sure, but I will call them and let's see. And that was when you and I talked and you told me, hey, I just got to flip the switch back on. And so our team loves it. I love it. One of the things that I missed about it was in the old software under what Duncan was recommending, you know, I have seven stores. I couldn't see the schedule of all seven stores on one screen. You know, I'd have to toggle and go to another screen and all this. And the thing that I love, and it just happened yesterday. We're real big on our drive-through times at all of our stores. And so we had the morning schedule, and I love getting the morning email because I know how many people are on staff, you know, who we have on staff. And, you know, obviously after the Georgia home game on Sundays, we better have all hands on deck because we're fixing to get crushed because everybody's coming. So I love being able to be involved with knowing that our GMs know what the business is. Cause on a Georgia home game, we might need 15 people in the store on a Monday in November. I might need six or seven in the morning. Cause we really monitor our labor that way. But we had some high drive-through times at one of our particular locations. I go to y'all's daily email. I'm looking at the staffs. I'm seeing who we have on. And my first question to our ops director is, hey, do you think we should have had more people on this shift? Because we only had five, but we were about 30 seconds higher on our drive-through time. And, you know, she just responds to me. She said, no, David, because, you know, I was actually there. We had an oven go down. We had a great crew on. And if we didn't have that oven go down, we'd been fine. So that's the level of involvement that I love to have in asking the questions and then my staffs knowing the answers to those questions. I would have never even known how many people were on staff if we were on the old system, but using Schedulefly and just how user friendly it is at all levels, from crew member to general manager to director of ops to me, the franchisee, there's just such a level of information that you can get, you know, at the click of your finger versus having to spend 10 minutes digging through a piece of software to figure out exactly who's on the schedule that day.
You know, it's been interesting. We've seen a lot over the years of these other softwares come in, and there's a lot of bells and whistles, and there's a lot of integrations, and there's a lot of the idea is very alluring. I mean, I think the idea is alluring. Like, it's all in one place. It's all going to tie together. The reality we're finding out, because we're having more and more of this, of people with different, you know, that have gone to different systems that come back. They're like, look, it had, you know, we're paying a lot more for a lot of this stuff that we don't need or don't use, or it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And then we find ourselves spending so much time on the system and in the software and, you know, on a screen versus what we need is we need something that's quick and easy so that we're out with the guests and with the product. And that's, you know, so that made my, I mean, it just made my day. It made all of our day, like our whole team, when you called and said that. And I can't tell you how nice it is to literally be able to click one button and then you're just, you know, like you guys are.
Oh my gosh. And look, you made, I think our team thought, well, David's going to say no. You know, this is something that we did. And that's how Billy, I think she almost, came with her hat in her hand to me when she was asking me about it. And I think I totally shocked her when I said, well, heck yeah, let's go back to Schedulefly. I'm all for it. And the thing that I love about it too, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier of, you know, how involved I am and how involved our teams are. We don't look at our crews as a number. You know, I love looking on there and seeing the names and, you know, knowing, hey, in the afternoon, gosh, we got you know, Brittany on as our shift leader. Boy, this is going to be a great shift. And, you know, just being able to you know, I see that if we have a great drive-through time on a Friday morning, knowing who's on that shift and just, you know, sending them a message, hey, awesome job, awesome job. So it allows me to have that personal touch with our staffs. And then all the other, you know, things that you guys have is, like, for instance, a big deal for us is the birthday component. Yeah. You know, I can look on the thing and it tells me whose birthdays it is that day. And, you know, might write them a little card or a little note or a text, hey, happy birthday. And it makes everything so much more personable for us. And I didn't realize how much I missed that when we were with the you know, corporate recommended software with it. Yeah. So I just love the personal effects that you guys have with Schedulefly.
Awesome, man. Well, we appreciate it for sure. Tell me, just sing some praises of Duncan, because, you know, Duncan's it's an amazing story. What's happened with that company and that brand over the last couple of decades is just phenomenal. And you're just kind of taking over the world. So just tell me if you were talking to somebody that was looking at different options and was thinking about Duncan, what are the things about Duncan that you really love as a franchisee?
You know, the thing I like about Duncan, and I've seen it go from when I became a franchisee, they were a privately held company with a venture capitalist group. Then they went public. All right. So for about 9 years, it was a publicly traded company. And then Inspire Brands out of Atlanta just took them private again. So I've seen the spectrum of it. But the thing that I really like about Duncan, especially on their corporate side, it's still got a family atmosphere to it. And I think that was how they grew, especially starting up in Boston. And everybody's seen all the funny YouTube videos with Ben Affleck and the Saturday Night Live skits and whatnot about Duncan and the Yankee accents and all that kind of stuff. But it really does, as big as it is, I can still call up the director of the Southeast and talk to her about anything, and she'll pick up the phone. And it hasn't gotten so big that it lost its personal touch. And I think I'm very fortunate with the brands that I'm involved in, there is that personal touch. Cause you know, when I was young and in my 20s, I wasn't a good fit for corporate America. And I realized that pretty early on. Funny story. One of my first jobs was at a bank, and I was a manager in training at the bank. And first thing I had to do was learn the teller side, you know, count money and whatnot. And I remember one time, I miscounted my drawer, and the head teller, they wrote me up for miscounting the drawer. So, you know, I'm getting like a demerit. And, you know, I probably said some things I shouldn't have said about what they could do with that sheet of paper. And I still remember that story now. And we, you know, unfortunately, we write people up. But I always tell people, I don't want to write people up just for stupid stuff because of how I am. I don't want to get written up by anything. You know, I mean, gosh, we're out here trying. You make a mistake, let's coach them up and go. But I just knew I wasn't a fit for corporate America. And Duncan and Nukes and Barb's, you know, before you and I got on this conference call, we were meeting with the head chefs of Barberitos talking about our chicken and our steak and what can we do to improve upon it. And you know, my thing was, I said, guys, I've been doing this 20 years. There's nothing. It's awesome. The product is amazing. Don't mess with it. So, you know, I appreciate the human touch that we get with all of our brands, especially with Duncan, as big as they are, that they still take that approach to their franchisees.
I think, what year did you graduate college?
95.
I graduated in 96. Dude, we the exact same. I went to a bank. I was at Nations Bank, and I was like, man, I just shot my mouth off too much. They're like, dude, you don't do that. Don't say what you think. I'm like, of course I say what I think. This sucks. This is stupid. We should fix it. It's like, no. You just fall in line. All right. I'm not the fall in line guy. Sorry.
How long did you last at Nations?
I was there from the fall of 96. I lasted 3 years. But what happened is, well, I started in Wrightsville Beach. Mm-hmm. In a branch, and after I realized pretty quickly, I was like, if I live in Wrightsville Beach and work in this branch in Wilmington, I'm never going to amount to anything because I'm having too much fun. I need to get back to Charlotte where this bank is headquartered and try to do something there. So I go back there. And the good news for me, I was in sales and I was in cash management sales and I had Eastern North Carolina as my territory. So I traveled a lot. So I wasn't there I was on the road a lot, which I liked. Mm-hmm. Then my fiance wanted to get into acting. So this is like right after the Nations Bank, Bank of America merger. So I get them to move me to LA and I'm already kind of like realizing this is probably not my long-term play, but I move out there and the culture was toxic after that. And, I was like, I can't do that. I mean, we were young. We didn't have any money, but we also didn't have any debt. We didn't have anything so that was when I kind of got started in the entrepreneurial world. But if you're wired that way, the earlier you recognize that, the better. And, there's so many opportunities, whether it's starting your own business or buying into a franchise. Right. But if you're wired into I have strong opinions. I know what I believe and I'm willing to work really hard. And, try to find people that are aligned with the way I like to do things. Then this is a great opportunity, whether it is starting a business or being a franchisee. You're much better served there than following that normal path of now after college, now I got to get into corporate America and I got to get a job and I got to get, not necessarily know enough about yourself or you'll find out real fast in corporate America if you're not cut out. But it's wonderful that there's so many good opportunities now. I would imagine with Duncan, I know you, there's an investment, but it's not the same kind of investment probably as if, I don't know, if you're starting a Chick-fil-A or something
that. It's, the other thing that I believe in the franchise world is your input costs have to work out with the volumes that you can potentially do. I've seen people get in trouble let's say in the Barberitos world, they might spend $750,000 to open a store in 2,000 square feet and they can't make it because their debt service is so high. And I always believe, and I try to consult with people and tell them, look, you don't ever want to go cheap. You never want to go cheap, but you can go economical. Mm. Cause the franchisors, they're going to spend your money if you let them. But, that, again, I take the same approach to building out one of our stores like I do of running our stores. I'm going to be involved. I've got a group of subs. My GC has been with me. He's built out 10 or 12 of our stores. We work very well together. It's all local guys. And it goes back to expanding your network too. I'm so fortunate that I've got the best plumber, the best electrician, the best HVAC guy, the best equipment guy. So when something goes wrong, I can call him at even on a Saturday at 4 p.m. or shoot him a text. Yeah, man. Hey, we're on our way. And they all know. I tell our admin staff, I say, you make sure you pay them first. We're going to cut them a check as soon as they need it because that's what it's all about. And the team goes a lot further than just your crew. Your team has to be your outside advisors as well too. I've had the same accountant since I started and I still meet with her once a month and I laugh and I tell her this, I say, for you, you're like my PhD professor who's continuing to help me understand the financial side of the business because that's what I love about the restaurant business is there's so many little components to it that are just so different. And, I tell my boys who are in college and I've got four kids, I've got one in high school and one in elementary school. I tell them, I say, guys, look, your dad, I'm a better student right now at age 50 than I ever was at age 20. Don't ever lose the thirst for learning.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm totally the same way. I'm so much more interested in learning now than I was when I was supposed to be learning. That's okay, man. That's good because you just keep improving. Want to just kind of improve just a little bit every day. David, I appreciate you doing this. I'm going to let you get back to it. I know you're a busy dude. I'll tell you, what you can do is, since that Duncan, you know, has that corporate or that family feel, let's call that lady, yes, that Southeast lady, and say, hey, man, you need to check out some Schedule Fly.
I love it, man. I've actually, what I want to do, because we have a what they call a DAC, I don't even know what it stands for, but we got a franchisee meeting in Atlanta tomorrow. So instead of calling, I'm going to be in person. And so that's what I believe in, man, is the in-person touch and talk to some of the dudes I know and gals I know and let them know. And, you know, because that's also where you learn is from your peers in the franchise world, too. I love getting other ideas from folks.
Well, we'll get you the you can send this episode around and share that, you know, when we get this up. But I mean, you know, anybody, I mean, you've got my cell and you're welcome to hand it to anybody. You know, I mean, it's on our website, like on our public site. I'd love people to have that. By the way, I don't know if I told you this, but this is what you, when you call me, this is it, man. That's my phone right there.
The flip phone.
Yeah,
the
man.
Minimalist. I've been thinking about going back to that myself.
I did it 3 years ago, and there's a little adjustment. I mean, I had an iPhone 11, and I was used to that, but this has been good. It's a good thing.
Right. That's awesome.
Well, look, I'm in Charlotte. I come to Atlanta every now and then. How far are you? I know you're in a bunch of cities, but are you kind of 30 minutes from Atlanta or 2 hours from Atlanta?
No, so Athens is about an hour and a half from Atlanta.
Okay.
For me to get to Charlotte is 3 hours. So when you come down 85, you take exit 441, takes you right to Athens. So it's not that far. And our stores, we're in the four counties that touch Athens. So we do get close. I mean, I've got the closest store I have to Atlanta is probably, and Atlanta's gotten so big now that, you know, I mean, Gwinnett County is considered Atlanta. I touch up to Gwinnett County, but I still, like I said, I believe in knowing what you know. And being self-aware, I have no interest in going to Atlanta where all those people are and everything. I love the small town feel.
Yeah.
And just being in to get in with our folks and support the local high schools. And, you know, my wife laughed. She said, David, every time I walk around, your logo is on the back of every t-shirt that these kids wear for, you know, a 5K race or their high school football team. I said, well, that's the way it should be. You know, if the community supports me, I'm going to give back to them.
Yep. I love it. Smart strategy, man. You're in these towns, you got three different concepts in these towns. And instead of just like growing the GI, just keep doing good things in those towns. And it starts to compound. So, okay, well, cool. Well, I want to come, have a coffee.
Awesome, brother. I love
with
this.
You
and I'll make
in
it
Athens.
For you. I'll even make it for you too. It'll be the best cup of coffee you've had too, sir.
I love it. Thanks. I really do appreciate this, man. Thank you very much. Please tell your team, tell your team thank you from all of us at Schedule Fly. That was so huge for us. It just made me so happy when you made that call. And I just hearing you talk about that and how I mean that, just please tell them all, like, we love y'all. You're awesome. When I come, I'll bring a bunch of Schedule Fly tube socks and trucker hats.
Oh,
People love those.
They'll
so
love
we'll make
it.
That happen. All right,
that's
man.
That's awesome, man. Appreciate all y'all do. And man, I'm thankful you let me come back home.
We're happy to have you back, man. Always. The prodigal son returns, man.
I love it, man. I love it. Hey, great to see you. Let's stay in touch. You got my cell phone too.
All right. See you, David. Thank you, man.